You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour. On Radio TFI.
I didn't think that was going to kick in, so I did it manually. Oh, my God. Well, we are recording, and we are streaming, so I guess we're doing something right. Hey, you're listening to the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI. Oh, technical glitches are the key word here, and part of it is probably the loose nut behind the wheel. On this end, I'm John Shannon, and Mr. Ed Van Ness, who, thanks to this guffaw here, if you will, has a two-second delay, so I'm going to cue him to say hello now.
Good morning, kids and kittens. It is October 21st. Good God, how did that happen? October 21st, 2017. Welcome once again to Technical Difficulty Day here on Radio TFI. I'm going to tell you what, folks. If we make it through the first 20 minutes, it's going to be amazing. Because literally, John and I have... we're almost down to using sign language right now. I can see him. I don't really know what's going on with the rest of the show. So... Although the only thing I can hear right now is myself on a two-minute delay, so I'm going to back off a whole lot here and let John just kind of go.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, we have another fun show, and by the way, I want to thank you to those who listened to the one and who knows when next episode of the Shannon Files this last Monday. Had a good time doing it. I definitely did, but... We'll see when the next time we actually do that particular adventure, if you will. So, well, let's get right into it here. Ed, you said you had a clip. Now, let's try to get through this as best we can. Apparently, you have somebody that is actually dismantling Uber, and you have an audio clip with that?
Yes, I do. I mentioned this last week. There was a meeting of the Business, Energy, and Industrial Strategy Committee in Parliament over in London back on October 10th. It lasted about an hour and a half, but the really pertinent parts for us was about the last couple of minutes, where Peter Kyle, a member of Parliament, just basically tore apart Andrew Byrne, head of public policy for Uber. Now, they also had two other folks there who we're not interested in, you won't hear from. One from Deliveroo and one from Hermes, however they're screwing the British population. But the first voice you're going to hear is Peter Kyle, who's a member of Parliament, and then the tap dancing fellow will be Andrew Byrne. So we're going to do our best to play this again. I mentioned it last week, and I didn't have the audio available, but we're going to try and play it now. And as I get everything set up here on technical difficulties Saturday, like I can't even say it properly. Anyway, here we go, kids. John, you'll give me a thumbs up if you can hear it. I hope it goes across.
A fun question to you, Andrew. Do you regret the aggressive nature of your response to the TfL decision?
I think if you've seen the open letter from our CEO, that was published in the Standard. I think the business absolutely accepts that in lots of places it's had the wrong attitude and needs to change. And
why were you so belligerent to start with?
I think there's a very high strength of feeling from people within the business and things like that, but I think we have got to a place where we accept that we need to do more to address TfL's concerns.
But your reaction was that TfL is putting 40,000 people out of business. You are going to court denying any responsibility for those people in the first place. So the word on everyone's lips was hypocrite, wasn't it?
I don't know. I think we are very conscious of the fact that 40,000 people do use and earn money through Uber in London, and that fact will weigh very heavily on our response. But hopefully we can see a path forward now with TfL where we can address their concerns and continue to operate.
Your business plan is very well known around the globe, and it ultimately relies on automation. So soon, as soon as you possibly can, the people backing your company want to get rid of all the drivers anyway and replace them with automated vehicles. Will you be crying then?
I think there is a serious obligation on companies like ours to really think about the safety benefits that come with autonomous vehicles. 2 million people die.
I'm not talking about safety, I'm talking about putting people out of business.
That tends to be how we think about it. So 2 million people die every year in road traffic accidents, and if there is something that technology can do to reduce that number...
Asked you about the workers, about the people driving, and you respond with road safety.
I think when
TfL withdrew your license, you responded with, you are putting 40,000 people out of business. When I ask you about putting those same people out of business, you evade the answer. So will you be, as a business, as upset with yourself for putting out of business, bearing in mind that is your stated objective, as you are with TfL for doing it now?
I think there's no suggestion that how we plan to move forward is total replacement of individuals by automation. We do think that a fleet with lots of human drivers will be the norm for 10, 20 years, and that will continue to be the case in the UK. I think our investment in the research into automation is something that we do as a business, and we're proud of the fact that it might have big safety implications, but we will absolutely recognise that we have responsibility to the people who use the app when that time comes, but that time is not coming for a very significant amount of time.
Snake oil salesman. That's all they are, snake oil salesmen. I know you didn't hear the whole thing, but for those of you that did, you see how they were caught in their blatant lies and how they switch positions depending on the wind and how their mood suits them. As the gentleman said there, well, a couple of days ago, your position was people are going to lose 40,000 jobs. But now, are you going to feel as bad when Uber goes to autonomous cars and you put these same people out of work? Well, let me tell you about our safety program. Boom! Talk about evading the question. Caught him. Nailed him. Nailed him dead to rights. The slippery son of a gun.
Okay, so I got a question on that right away. I wish I could have asked the gentleman. Okay, so right now, Uber drivers in London are relying on their quote-unquote sat-navs to get around. And it seems like there's constant instances of their sat-navs driving them into fountains and the like. I wonder if when their autonomous technology pops up and winds up leading these automated cars, if they're going to use the same sat-nav system to guide these cars around. The only difference is that you're going to have cars that are going to be driving in a fountain, but they probably won't have a driver guiding them.
Well, be quite honest, the car will probably be smarter than the blokes they have behind the wheel now. While we're speaking of London, and I don't have details on this, but I'm kind of concerned because Cab Chat Radio canceled their Monday show and said they would have an announcement on this following Monday. They also have a morning show, or as they call it, a breakfast show over in the UK. A fellow by the name of Saul does it. After Friday's broadcast, he tweeted out that he would not be doing the program until further notice. Excuse me. So I'm very concerned about our friends over there at Cab Chat Radio as to what may or may not be going on. I'm hoping everybody is okay, but again, I'm sure we won't know. You know, I guess we'll find out Monday what's going on, but it just seems to, because I've been listening to them and they've really had a renewed vigor, if you will, on doing their program, and they seem to be doing a fine job of it too. So again, Monday we'll see. They broadcast at 10 a.m. Eastern time here in the U.S. They come on live at 3 p.m. local time, and we get them with the time change, 10 a.m. So they're
kind of like us.
To see what's going on again. I hope everything is
just in reverse
with our friends,
because we air.
What's that?
Live.
I'm sorry.
It's like us in reverse. We air live here 10 a.m. and we're heard over in London. That's probably why we're not getting any listeners or callers. The ones that would normally listen or participate over there in London are listening to Cab Chat there at the same time, 3 p.m. their time.
Well, that's why we're doing a special 7 a.m. broadcast.
Yeah.
6 a.m.
So, well.
Just for those fellas over there.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. So, I don't have anything else really on the taxi front other than in Australia. Well, it's funny because the Cheeto in charge has taken up a lot of my energy this week. And again, just literally pissing me off. But,
John, before you go, before we go to President Dumbshit, I'm going to get back to driving for a moment, because it was a story you actually retweeted last night about a Lyft driver.
The one
here
that...
here in South Florida, apparently. Allegedly. Now, I saw the story, and it's interesting because I had this discussion not only in the early afternoon but in the late evening with some of my regular customers, and we were talking about this. And my customer at noon, as she was telling me about it, I hadn't heard about it yet, and we got to talking about it. Well, I had been talking about how I won't take unaccompanied minors because my big thing is, as young Bethany, sitting quiet as a church mouse in the back seat, and then at the end of the ride, mommy, mommy, that man touched me. You know, it's the accusation that you can never get away from. Now, according to my customer, she said the mother of the boy was on TV going on and on and on. And I thought to myself, you know, maybe the driver did this, maybe he didn't. I'm not going to say one way or the other. He certainly shouldn't have been picking up an unaccompanied minor. Lyft is going to turn their back on him. But let's not discount the possibility that this is a scam by the mother. And, you know, she's got this set up. Because that does happen. And that's my biggest fear, is the people that, you know, just want to set you up and try and squeeze everything they can out of you, or they think they're going to sue Lyft or Uber. What they don't know is Uber turns their back on everybody. You know, they tell you to go see the service provider, which of course is the driver. So I'm not saying this guy didn't do it. I said, but let's just not discount the fact that this could be a setup, a scam. There's the possibility exists. I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah. So there was one other thing in Melbourne, Australia. That
Florida or Australia?
Australia.
Okay.
Apparently, the taxi companies in Victoria will be allowed to impose surge pricing under new rules designated to compete against Uber. So, what I'm wondering is. And of course, your buddy Les weighed into this when it was posted earlier. What do you think about that?
The cabs being allowed to do it, I think it's just hitting the gas pedal on the race to the bottom.
Yeah, no, there you go.
Because you can't raise your prices. There you go. Because you're going to price yourself out of the market, and you've got people already accustomed to cheap fares. And of course, what people aren't realizing is that Uber is currently screwing them by charging them more anyway. People just aren't picking up on that. You know where I stand on this. It's all going to be over in a year anyway. But
well, like I told your buddy Les there, this really only works if cabs were able to adjust their prices downward to account for slow periods as well. That's the only way this works.
Yes.
But the idea is to have, you know, a rate. Now, I don't know what their rates are in Australia. I'm sure they may even vary by city out down there. But what I still think, my personal feeling is, and always has been, that with today's gas prices, that fares are too high to begin with. Now, are we going to lower them down to the stupid level where Uber and Lyft are? Absolutely not. But I think that I've still said that the taxi industry needs to come down, and that is what's nice about flexible pricing is that you can have a lower price. You can bring your prices down to $2 a mile, maybe even $1.80 a mile during slow periods, and during busy periods, then you bring it back up to $2.25, $2.50. So that flexible pricing idea is not a bad idea. It's just that if it has to be done right. Go ahead. I see you got your hand up, student.
Well, currently here in Broward County, by the way, folks, I'm getting about every third word that John says. We're having massive technical difficulties. We'll get into more of that in a second. Anyway, here in Broward County, recently they passed the ordinance that cab companies can lower their rates. We now have soft meters, or they have soft meters in the cars on tablets. So the companies can adjust their rates down. They can't go any higher than the current rate, but they can certainly go down, which will be helpful to a degree. But again, you can only lower it so much before nobody can afford to work anymore. And so we'll see how that works out. It's only been a few months, and
it's I'm not getting a lot of feedback whether or not it's increasing business.
I will.
I personally think it's too confusing.
Well, I agree with you that it is confusing, because, you know, as in most cases, you takes out the technology, because you pretty much have to ask somebody in advance what the current rate is, unless there's a way to accompany that into an app or something to that extent. But I still think that any time it's announced that that taxis are lowering their rates, it has to be pushed in media. That's the only thing. It has to be pushed. You have to promote it, and otherwise nobody's going to be any the wiser. So are we ready for President Cheeto here?
Okay. I gotta say, I'm having a real hard time hearing you, but go ahead.
Okay. So, unless you were living under a rock, you realized that Trump made another major guffaw this last week. Made a telephone call to the wife of LaDavid Johnson, one of the four servicemen that were killed in Niger. He made this phone call, though, and I don't have his wife's name handy here, but basically the widow put it on speakerphone because there were other people riding with her and whatnot, and she did this voluntarily. Well, it just so happens that a congresswoman from Florida, Congresswoman Wilson, was there in the vehicle with her and heard what Trump said. And basically, what he said was, your husband knew what he signed up for. in the only way that Trump can say it. You know, Trump has the subtlety of a rattlesnake. So I'm sure that whatever his intention was, I'm sure that it was very, very upsetting for her. And the congresswoman called him on it. You know, that my feeling is on it is I think that we really need to put this topic to bed, to be honest with you, because every time, you know, okay, little radio TFI, we can talk about it, and I promise you this will be the last time we talk about it. But the thing is every time this gets brought up on CNN or MSNBC or the local newscast or whatnot, I think that we should put this topic to bed. And yes, I did get your show note there, Ed. The thing is with Trump, and I got into this with somebody, one of my Facebook friends earlier, is they don't give a shit how crass or diplomatic he is or is not. They just like the idea that America's not going to take any shit from anybody, basically. And, you know, that's all good and fine that maybe we've toughened up a little bit with some of our adversaries and whatnot. But we're in a position right now where North Korea is sending other countries notices trying to justify the idea of going to nuclear war with the United States because of Trump. Now, North Korean rhetoric has always been a little alarming, but Kim Jong-dumb one is taking it to a new level here. And like I said on the Monday show, I think that this is just a matter of time. And this scares me. This scares me. The president, you know, because we're not talking on about simple bombings and stuff like that, like car bombings, like the terrorists do, where it takes out 15 to 30 people. We're not talking about that type of situation. We're talking about nuclear war here. I mean, once the first nuclear missile is aimed at someone else, whether we aim it at them or they aim it at us, it's the end of the world as we know it. And even if you survive the attack, because let's face it, whoever Korea bombs first, you know, we have a lot of big cities in this country, blah, blah, blah. We have a lot more than they do, and we would have the ability to wipe North Korea off the map. But unfortunately, doing so, we'd take out the rest of the Asian rim, if you would, the Pacific rim. This thought scares me, because not only will millions of people die, but if the ones that do survive, it's going to be a completely different world. So, you know, we don't need to match one idiot in North Korea with another idiot in America. And I guess that's all I got to say about that, Ed. I know you're... Oh, dead air.
I've lost you completely now.
Oh, my
God. There you are.
Okay.
Well, what do you think, Skippy?
Well, I tell you, we're having this many problems. I think let's go ahead and let's do the picks real quick, and then we better go ahead and skedaddle out of here, because this just doesn't seem to be working today.
Yeah.
You know, do me a favor, would you? Do me a favor before you split, Ed.
What's that?
Do me a favor and call into the show after the picks here, or just call me on the phone through Skype. I want to see if we can do it that way.
Okay. Hang on a second. It's time for an abbreviated version of Ed versus the Spread. Our picks for the week. Mr. Shannon, last week you were 2-1. I was 1-2. You're 5-10 on the season. I'm 8-7. We're going to get through this very quickly, young man. Jets at the Dolphins. Dolphins favored by 3.5. Hello? I think I've lost them completely. Can you hear me at all, John? Hello, Mr. Shannon. I'll get his picks off air, folks. Oh, I see what I did. All right, give me your pick there, young man. All right, we're going to do this off the air.
There.
Don't worry, we'll get it all squared away. All right. I have to get off the air, folks. I'm sure I'll be able to piece something together here for the replay, but at least on my end, it's horrible. I can't. We're having a lot of difficulty communicating with each other. So, John, are you going to stay on for the full hour?
Yeah. Why don't you try calling? Why don't you try calling me back on your cell phone through the Skype app?
Ladies and gentlemen, you may or may not hear from me again. But in case you don't,
see ya. Oh my goodness, my buddy Ed. Well, as he announced that the new world headquarters of Radio TFI, when it gets moved to its new location in another part of the Fort Lauderdale area, this will all be solved. To be quite honest with you, what's going on here is that he is using Wi-Fi to connect to his Skype, which can work if you're just having a person-to-person conversation. But what the problem is with that is that you, when you add all the other intangibles in a Wi-Fi connection, you have what we just had there. And as you've, if you've ever watched a conversation between two people on TV using Skype, sometimes Wi-Fi isn't enough to cut it. You actually have to have a solid landline, or not landline, obviously, but a solid connection. You can't use Wi-Fi for it. Anyway, I'll move on to a couple other topics here real quick. Oh, this ought to get you here real quick. How about from the hypocrisy department? So something that's kind of been swept under the rug with everything else that's going on in life. But Calista Gingrich, now that is Newt Gingrich's third wife. I don't know if you remember the story back a few years. All right, here comes Ed back, and I'm assuming this is him calling me on the phone here through his phone. So we're going to see if we can't bring him back into the conversation here. Hi there.
Hello, young man.
How about that? I can actually see you fairly well, and I can hear you.
Hey, folks, I'm back.
Uh-oh.
I hope.
Yeah, no, you're coming. You're coming through better.
And I'm echoing again. By the way, I was able to catch the last, because of the 20-second delay we have here. I was able to hear us. We're coming across fine. We're coming. I listened to us on the app for a couple seconds. We're coming across just fine. It's just that we couldn't hear each other. Although right now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm on my cell phone. I'm looking at John on video. He's looking at me. He loves looking at me.
Oh.
And although I don't have control over anything else, I can't do anything other than talk, and I'm not going to listen. But we hear each other fine. So
okay.
We will have all of these problems rectified, if you will, before we But before we start broadcasting from the new worldwide headquarters of Radio TFI.
Right.
So, where were you, Mr. Shannon?
Well, I was talking about Calista Gingrich, Newt Gingrich's third wife. And I was just getting into the what happened, you know, basically old Newtie there while his wife, his second wife, was on her deathbed, met up with this Calista, and, well, the rest is history. Well, now this adulteress is going to be the next ambassador to the Vatican.
No kidding.
No kidding. You want to talk about his hypocrisy here. You know,
well, wait a second. As a good Catholic, we specialize in hypocrisy.
Oh. Well, you know, the thing is I don't know if Trump isn't aware of Gingrich's background. I got to believe he is, or somebody told him about it, if nothing else. You know, the thing is that Trump mentions God probably even more than President Obama did. Yet, I've just never seen anything in the years that we've known a public Donald Trump ever known him to be overly religious. I get a feeling that this is probably the first time he stepped inside a church is right after the inauguration.
So, he's no more a man than that chair.
Yeah, exactly. Just hypocrisy there and a case of not knowing what the hell you're doing, quite frankly. I mean, yeah, I'm not perfect. You know, I don't like to throw stones, but I'm not running for president. I'm not your president. I'm not running for dog catcher. So,
I'm just gonna.
So chew on that for a while, Trump fans. Yes. Did you get my monologue here on my ranting as far as Trump's handling North Korea and why he?
Yeah, I
got that. You did get that. Yeah. So I won't. I won't bore the rest of our listeners again with that.
No. Contrary to popular belief, you don't have to do the thing.
Yeah. You know, I hate to say it, but you're still breaking up just a little bit, and I think that's because you're trying to use speakerphone.
Okay. How's that? Any better?
Much better.
That's because I just brought it in closer.
Yeah. Well, that probably worked too. Speakerphone, I don't know why, they just have not, perfected.
Mm.
Oh my God, I saw your fillings, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, you did. it's the beauty of video, folks.
Yes, it is.
You can't see it, but he can.
Oh my God. But no, the cell phone technology has not produced a real good speakerphone yet, where you can actually be heard across the room.
That is not true.
Oh, come on. I have people all the time asking me, can you hear if I go on speakerphone?
I have friends of mine, and their phones, when I speak to them on speaker on my phone actually, because their phone is sending out such a better quality signal. It's as if they're literally sitting next to me. Hmm. So there are some phones out there that have excellent, not only that you can hear, but that they also send out a great signal. So don't tell me, Buster Brown.
Oh, take a pill. So
I'd love to. Like four of them.
Have you been following the Me Too hashtag?
Of course. No, because Harvey Weinstein tried it with Me Too, and. Well, I let him. I stalked him for a while. But no, that's not funny.
No.
That's not funny at all. No. I was rooting around in there for some kind of a laugh, but there's nothing funny about that. No, I have not been following the hashtag MeToo, but I am aware of it. And anything I listen to, fine by me. Teen Steam. Google it, kids. teen steam. You will feel filthy afterwards because you'll realize what a pedophile you are. Teen steam. She did it when she was about 15 or 16 years old. It's anyway.
Well, I had a question. One thing that it caused me to do is that somebody posted a tweet that said the Me Too hashtag, that there are actually women who have been had an experience of improper behavior that hasn't always been actual sexual assault, but there have been instances where the Uber driver has been Uber creepy, if you will, and also including the sexual assaults. Now, I took a sample of 1 hour tweets with the hashtag MeToo along with Uber. And in 1 hour's worth of tweets, I saw 17 references that contained Uber and the hashtag MeToo. And so
your conclusion?
Well, my conclusion is that with how many times do you, with all the times that you think, and I'm bouncing back to Uber here, and I'm sorry, this whole day has been kind of a fiasco, so why not? But
speak for yourself. I got to move over to my sofa, so.
Oh, well, your life is good, huh?
That's good for me, right?
But what that tells me is that how many of these sexual assaults haven't been reported to Uber, haven't been reported to the police, to authorities?
Well, I wonder that myself, and I wonder, okay, you're willing to put it up there anonymously on Twitter, and I don't want to say people are making stuff up, but let's face it, there's a certain percentage of bandwagon jumpers and phonies out there, and they're probably not even women are making up these stories. Yes, should they be reported? Of course. And I've said before in the past, I find it alternately sad and hysterical when you see these tweets from women, oh, this guy assaulted me, this guy did that, I want a credit for my next ride. Wait, you're still going to use the service?
You're still going to use the service, yeah. And that's all your dignity and peace of mind is worth is a free ride.
You know what I'm trying to figure out as well? So I'm driving along, and I pick up these single women, done it for years in the cab, and now I'm using these apps. And I thought, how could I possibly reach back and assault someone, and she's just going to sit there and take it? How do these guys just get away with just reaching back, putting their hands wherever they want it, and these women don't fight back? These women don't hop out of the car? They just basically sit. I mean, I'm trying to picture it. I certainly hope they're not just sitting there and taking it, but good God, to hear the guy locks the doors and won't let you out? Unlock the fucking door.
Well, here's what's actually happening with this. It either comes with that the driver insists that the passenger get in the front seat. That's how some of this is facilitated. Then next thing you know, it's a touch on the knee and this type of thing. And then you know it's swatted away. And well, you know it's an inappropriate. It may not be considered a sexual assault, but it's definitely a very improper action to be doing.
Another
thing that happens quite a bit is especially at night when the passengers are drunk and passed out in the back seat is in numerous instances. She wakes up to find the driver in the back seat with her, and that's where a lot of this is happening.
Yeah, but I'm also saying, and I don't disagree. I'm not trying to justify any of these morons out there. But it just seems to me there's just too many of, oh, we were driving along and he reached back and he touched me. Slide over.
I don't think that happens as much as the other instances I mentioned.
You could be right.
And the other thing is also inappropriate comments. Another thing is that when the driver sees a woman come in, you know, comes in the vehicle with a skirt on, boy, he's got his eyes, he's got himself craned around so he sees her get into the car. So, I mean, there are other things where there's not even physical contact, where it's if anything else, it's just plain creepy.
I learned a long time ago, when I see a woman getting into the car with a, especially with a shorter skirt, I turn back around. Normally, I like to watch the people get in just in case they trip, fall, whatever. But in a situation like that, I will demurely turn my head to give her that opportunity to
get herself straightened up.
Make the most ladylike move to get into the vehicle.
Right.
I want to give her that, you know. Have I caught a peek in the past? You better believe I have. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not intentionally, but it happens, and we move on with our lives. And, but, well, it's these spectacular background checks. You know, the ones that are better than the FBI. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't think that. I don't think that they're fake, because they're. The ones that I sampled, you know, I checked, they're legitimate Twitter accounts. They're not, you know, a legitimate Twitter account does have a reasonable amount of followers. It isn't like somebody just jumped on Twitter and just trying to get, you know, setting up a fake account or an account just to draw somebody in. So, I don't know. It's a depraved head. Jesus Christ. So I want to, because this is kind of a depressing subject. I do want to kind of move on. We're going back and forth again here. So, so much to the chagrin of the Cheeto in charge, there is going to be no change in NFL policy, as far as kneeling for the national anthem. Did you catch that?
Oh, I'm listening.
Oh.
I'm showing you where I've been staying.
Oh, my God. That poor couch. It's never going to be the same.
I'm giving John the tour of my my temporary abode, because now I'm mobile. And whether or not you folks can hear me well. So, I'm just... This is beautiful Margate, Florida. This is, by the way, that's my van over there, if you can see it.
I can see it. Yes.
Anyway, Cheeto in charge, NFL.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, the NFL policy, they had a meeting with the owners and the Players Association, and we're not going to be chastised for taking a knee for the anthem. And to that I say, good call.
Like I said
this on Monday, that quite frankly I think they should just go back to where the players are in the locker room until the anthem is over. Although I shouldn't say that, because some players do, it is their desire to be out for the anthem, and they want to stand at attention, you know, or stand with their hand on their heart or what have you. So that's their choice. You know, the players that want to take a knee, now they can do, I'm sure they're not going to be allowed to be made, you know, they're not going to make what's the word I'm looking for here? Make a joke out of this by standing on their head and dancing dancing the Kazatsky. What were you going to say, Ed?
Dancing the Kazatsky.
Oh, is that what that? I was thinking about oh my God.
Doing a jig,
yes.
The Kazatsky.
What the hell is the Kazatsky?
You're too white to understand that.
Oh, okay. Oh, the Holly Gully was what I was thinking of, actually.
Oh, there you go. Oh, there's one we haven't heard in a good long time.
Oh, yes.
No, next thing you know, they'll be bringing back the mashed potato.
Yeah. But Nonetheless, I think that, and, you know, I got to thinking about this when everybody was up in arms about the players taking a knee for the anthem. What is the most subservient thing that a person can do, if you think about it, when you're in front of another person or whatnot?
Subservient.
Yeah. Why? What did I say?
Nothing close to that.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. Grammar Police, a Quinn Martin production.
But anyways, no, when you're on a knee, you are definitely in a position, you know, of reverence, respect, if you will, respect.
And if you're on two knees, you're dealing with Gilchrist.
Oh, he had to raise his vile head here, didn't he?
Well, something's vile about him, but.
Oh, shit.
Jesus is cooler, brother. Mm. Gilchrist is getting his own show on Radio TFI.
Oh, he is.
We're still in negotiations. The Gilchrist Hour of Power.
He's going to want too much money, I think.
He's going to want too much everything, but we're working on it. We're working with his people, and, you know.
Oh.
We're going to see if we can make something happen of it. I mean, I'm inspired every time I deal with it. Remember, I am his conduit here on Earth.
Okay. Hey, I want to switch gears one more time here. Because
please, use the clutch this time.
Well, if nothing else, for my peace of mind, you were doing the picks. So let's do the Reader's Digest version of the picks here.
I got to get back up and hold on a second.
Oh, God, he's got to haul his ass off the couch to do this.
Yeah, I got to move back to. All right, kids, we're not going to have the music, but we will.
Oh, thank God.
All right, so let me get myself together here. All right, so last week, overall, I was 7-8 with all my picks.
Okay.
I am 54-52 on the year. Last week, young Mr. Shannon was 2-1. He was correct in picking my Dolphins and getting 12.5 points. He was correct in picking the Niners. Even though they lost, they still had 10.
They still count, yeah.
And you blew the goose with the Jets and Patriots.
Well, that wasn't a bad game though.
No, I didn't get to see much of it, but I was right with the Vikings. Let's move on.
So this week,
here are your games, sir. It's the New York Jets getting 3.5 points against my Miami Dolphins. Take your pick, sir.
Oh, I'll take the Jets and the points.
Wow, you loser. From jolly old London, England, in Twickenham Stadium, it is the Arizona Cardinals getting 3 points versus the Los Angeles Rams.
Cardinals and Rams. Who's the favorite there? The Cardinals?
The Rams.
The Rams are favorite. The Rams are 3-point favorite. I'm sorry. I got to go with the Cardinals.
Cardinals it is. And then finally, the powerhouse New Orleans Saints against the... what the hell are we doing here, Green Bay Packers? Green Bay getting 5.5 points at home.
Hey,
we got points at home.
I got to go with the Saints. I have this sad feeling that this is going to be, it's not going to be pretty.
I think the rest of the planet is going with the Saints as well. All right, now for the real picks. I'm taking Cincinnati getting 6 over their division rival Pittsburgh Steelers. Tennessee -5 over the hapless, and I do mean hapless, Cleveland Browns. And finally, the bet your lungs, sell everything, wake the kids, call the neighbors pick. Those Minnesota Purple People Eaters giving up 4.5 points against the Baltimore Ravens. And that's your picks. Ooh. For this week.
I'm sitting here forgetting if that was a home game for the Vikings. That's a home game for them, isn't it?
It is a home game for the Vikings.
That's what I thought. You know what? Baltimore, you know, I just want to talk about that one. I'm a Vikings fan, so I'm going to bleed purple all over the place. But unfortunately, yeah. But I'm afraid with that game because Baltimore always seems to play the Vikings tough. I don't know what it is, but I haven't been following Baltimore, so I don't know how good they are. But
Baltimore is a team that you can generally count on them to play well. They're always pretty good on defense, but you never know. Sometimes they come in. They're a team that very much rises and falls to the level of their competition.
Hmm.
Although they generally stay a notch above. That was a tough game for me to pick because I know the Vikings are playing well, and it's really tough for me to give up points against Baltimore because they play a lot of close games too. They don't always score a lot of points. But
yeah, if I were to pick that game, and who gives a shit what I think about it? But if I were to pick that game, I'd probably take the Ravens with the points.
What the hell kind of fan are you?
Well, because I think it's going to be I think the Vikings can win that game, but I think it's going to be a close game. I think it might wind up be one of those where a field goal determines the ending.
You seem to think you know what you're talking about.
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
You know what? You know what we're going to do, Skippy?
What are we going to do, Skippy?
Next week, you heard it here first, kids. Next week, I'm going to let you choose one game of your own.
I get to pick the lock that I want to pick, huh?
Yes, but not the Vikings. You cannot pick the home team.
Okay.
You can pick any game except for one where the Vikings are involved, okay?
Okay. I can live with that.
I have one piece of advice for you.
Huh?
Don't screw it up.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
And there you go, kids. And by the way, for the season, John, I am 8-7. I am above 500. I have a winning percentage. You know where you are?
Catching up.
5-10, pal.
5-10.
You for every one you get right, you blow two and always.
Oh.
You blow two and don't even get paid for it.
It is. There is still time to catch up, my friend.
Not as much as you think.
There is still time. You have to realize that when it comes to football, I am pretty much a Vikings fan. Unlike baseball, I'm a real big baseball fan. I am just the only team I follow in football, quite frankly, are the Vikings.
Well, how many teams do you need to follow?
Well, but I don't pay attention to, I don't watch or listen to ESPN's coverage, you know, wall-to-wall coverage of football. You know, I couldn't tell you the standings in any division except the NFC North.
You want to see something?
Hmm.
Can you see that?
Good Lord. You are a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Nutbag.
Well, there you go. I'm glad you picked it out for me.
Folks, I just showed John on camera the spreadsheet that I keep. And mind you, I've been doing this for, oh my goodness, 12 years, 13 years. And over time, I've cleaned up and made this spreadsheet a little better. And I keep standings and I know who's played what and how and when and where they are.
Well, geez, you should have a show of your own on Radio TFI with all you're doing is football talk.
I've spoken to the owners of Radio TFI. They want no part of that.
Oh, I see. But they want Gil Christ.
They're dying for Gil Christ. they're ready to mortgage the whole thing, the whole place. It's sell the transmitter, and they want Gil Christ in the worst way, and that's probably how they're going to get him in the worst way. Gil Christ, hour of power. Put the affected part of your body on your radio. Praise him.
Yes.
First Church of the Gooey Death and Discount House of Worship, founded by the Right Reverend Dr. Billy Saul Hargis. Praise him.
Oh, I just have to shake my head sometimes there, sir.
Don't shake it too hard. What's left of that hair will jump right off. Oh boy, that was awful.
I can't help it that you're doing a fucking comb over yourself here, pal.
No, I'm not. It's just getting too tall for my hair.
Oh, we have regressed to talking about hairstyles. Yeah, each other, exactly.
And it's weird because I'm sitting here holding this phone, and I just don't feel like I'm part of anything right now.
Well, then, oh, hey, I've got some news, by the way.
Okay. Are you pregnant again?
Am I what?
Are you pregnant again?
No.
Oh.
I want to send a shout out to our inspiration here in North America, Beck Taxi in Toronto.
Oh, yes.
Yes, they won an award. You know, it was a local award. It was by the Toronto newspaper, but they won as best taxi company in Toronto. And I think that would be a no-brainer as far as Toronto goes.
Absolutely. Did you see who came in second place?
No. Uber. I didn't see. Uber came in second?
Yes.
So they rated above Uber in Toronto.
Yes, they did.
I did not. So that's even a bigger story in Toronto, that Beck Taxi.
Our new friend Christine Hubbard, that cutie patootie, was at the Toronto City Council last week advocating for bike lanes.
I don't agree with her on that.
But, you know, she's the best. I tell you what, I still regret that I was unable to participate in that interview. I really would have.
Well, we'll have to bring her on board again here. But what she'll have to do next time, because you realize how I had to do that interview, right?
Yes. Yes.
So you wouldn't have been able to talk to her directly anyways.
Right. Not in that situation.
Yeah, I'd like to bring her on board again, though, too. I didn't realize she's in favor of bike lanes.
Yes.
So we got a couple minutes to waste here, let's talk about that real quick. How bike friendly is Fort Lauderdale?
Not.
Okay.
Not at all. Not really. I mean, we have bike lanes and all that, but
we have gone as far as actually using solid barricades for bike lanes here in this area. For a city where you can only safely ride a bike maybe 6 to 7 months out of the year, maybe 8 months out of the year. And the worst part about it with bike lanes is that you can doll up the streets as much as you want and create your own bike lanes, and the dumb motherfuckers still ride on the sidewalk and want to be treated as pedestrians. And heaven forbid if you want to try to pull away from a pull out towards a blind intersection and all of a sudden somebody's flying in your direction at 20 miles an hour on the sidewalk on the bike and you didn't see them coming.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they enforced laws or enforced rules or whatever that kept bikes in the bike lanes where they were available, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But they're still riding on the sidewalk. They're still riding.
Play the clothes. Huh? Play the clothes.
Play the clothes.
Play the clothes.
It's not time for that yet.
It's time.
Yeah. I hope to hell you get your shit set up there and it a lot better than this week here, my friend. I gotta tell you. Yeah, I played it just for you.
Well, you played it too late, so say goodbye, John.
Okay. Say goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick.
Adios, pal.